Once upon a time, a young girl called Grace went out into the world. She had been promised a fairy tale, a bright future in the Palace of Success, a future of equality and opportunity, a future where she was respected and her gifts were valued, where she could make her dreams come true if she worked hard. Skipping along the path, she felt excited, curious, and eager to prove her worth. After a few miles, she met a young man. We'll call him George. They got chatting, and they soon realized they had much in common, shared goals, qualifications, interests, and gifts. And since they were both destined for the palace, they decided to travel together. Just as things were looking rosy, they came to a fork in the road, guarded by Old Man Status Quo. He ushered George down the right-hand path, which was brightly lit and covered with flowers. "Can't I take that path too?" asked Grace. "The other path goes through the forest." "No," said Status Quo. "You must take the left-hand path." So Grace and George bade each other farewell and agreed to rendezvous at the palace. Now Grace was a 21st century girl who believed in equality, her rights, her independence, and she didn't believe in monsters. So she took a deep breath and set off into the forest. But little did she know that along her path, beasts really were lurking in the shadows, and huge obstacles really would block her way. Obstacles and beasts that George would never have to deal with. And so our story begins.
So, hi everybody. Well, that was quite an unusual introduction to the Zone Show. It's an excerpt from, the start of a book I've just been reading by Dr. Anne Whitehouse called Pull Back Your Power. I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Anne Whitehouse to the Zone Show. Hi there.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Well, I've just been reading your book and it's a great read. It's got a style which I'm personally really drawn to, and that's to mix a fictional story in a non-fiction book that runs all the way through the book. And that excerpt that we just played then is the story of Grace. We'll come back to that in a bit, but just love to for the listeners to know a little bit about you, where you came from, and what brought you to writing this amazing book.
Well, it's quite an involved story, Tom. Basically, I started off as an academic, a scientist. I was a lecturer in the engineering department, and I was there confidently doing my job. And yet, what actually happened to me was very unexpected. And what I found was that I had stress, anxiety, way out of proportion with what should have been there. And I won't go into too many details on that, but basically over the 6 years I was there, my whole health just plummeted with this stress, this anxiety that I couldn't explain, and I ended up basically losing my scientific career with chronic fatigue syndrome. And that took me onto a start of what was an amazing transformational journey to discover what had happened to me and to turn that around. And what it actually led me to discover is a whole pattern of how women are still being undermined really subtly by that, like the energies, the subconscious operating system of our world, and that is creating a lot of the diversity issues and challenges that we see in the world today. So it's a very exciting and I think really well, magical story, going from what was the complete world of three-dimensional science into this world of the subconscious and the way it's really affecting everybody, you know, here and now.
So maybe it's not that magical then, because you started off as a metallurgist, that's where you got your doctorate, and obviously a modern day metallurgist is pretty similar to an old day alchemist, and now you've turned into, in fact you've transmuted yourself, which is the word that into a life alchemist, which is quite amazing, really. So maybe that was your karmic path all the way down the line.
Of course it was. I didn't realize, obviously, at the time, but I do remember one day I was there lecturing fracture mechanics to these mechanical engineers, and I just knew there was my head was sort of saying to me, And this is not what you are here to do. You think it is, but you are here to do something very, very different. And as my sort of health spiraled out of control, it really was, I had an awareness that this was all part of a higher perspective, a bigger picture of something that I needed to go through in order to gain the wisdom that I was going to need in order to fulfill what I'm really here to do.
Yeah, you know, in reading your book, I guess the book is primarily written for women to enable them to pull back their power. But those blokes that did this thing to you back then, and this has happened hundreds, if not thousands, and hundreds of thousands of times, they maybe didn't really know what they were doing. They were just acting as blokes. They were educated in this system that we got. They just did what they thought was right. And I think that this book can actually be read by blokes as well.
That's very true. Men have read the book, and you know, even my husband, who went through the whole journey with me, when he read it, he said to me afterwards, he said, "Anne, even though I went through that whole experience with you, I didn't actually understand until I read the book." And it's the thing that's really important, that of course there are instances of harassment and discrimination that are conscious, but that's not what I'm talking about. Mm. It's this really subtle kind of autopilot which just goes on under the surface, everyone just reacting to their internal programming. And I don't believe that any of them thought they were doing anything wrong. And yet the subtle effect it had on me was very large. And because it was every day, it just magnifies over time. And that's why women in my position who are high achieving in a male dominated environment are often undermined and end up with things like burnout.
Interesting. I want people to read the book, so I don't want to reveal all the contents, but there's just two aspects which I think are really important, and also I know that the Zone Show audience will really resonate with. And the first is the power archetypes, and one is, I'd like to know which one you might resonate with the most, if not all of them, because obviously we have a mix of them. But two, I love the way that you've taken that fairy tale story of grace, which is the sort of fictional layer that runs all the way through, or fictional thread that runs all the way through the book. And then you've kind of come up with fairy tale archetypes. We've got Rapunzel, Cinderella, Snow White, Hippolyta, I think it was Scheherazade, and what have you. I just wondered, one, I love that the way you brought the fiction into the non-fiction, but also which of those archetypes you maybe resonate with. Maybe that's changed as well, who you resonated with, who you were first when all these things were kicking off, and who you are now.
Well, shall I explain a little bit about why the archetypes are there?
Yeah.
So to cut a long story short, we have this, in this undercurrent of our society, because it was created by men for men, when a woman goes into that, subtly we receive a lot of messages that this is the default we should be. And of course we aren't, because we're women, we're a different energy. And so that, combined with our life experience, means that we shut down parts of ourselves, we react in a certain way to compensate for the fact for this misfit in this underlying energy. And that leads to, there are five typical ways in which women do that. And this is what I've discovered over many years of working with women. And it's your combination of your character, your life experience, and what you are confronted with in the world. We shut down various parts of ourselves, react in a way in order to more than cope, in order to succeed, we have to do certain things, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So of the women who are really out in the world trying to prove themselves, trying to succeed, have a career, etc., there are two main archetypes. There's the Scheherazade archetype and the Hippolyta archetype. Mm-hmm. So if we're going in with the baseline that we've had to sort of really shut down who we truly are in order to fit in with the status quo. Mm-hmm. I am the Scheherazade archetype, very much so. That means that I'm driven, I want to achieve, I want to succeed, I want to prove that I can do things, but underneath I'm picking up on all the old labelling of things that were forbidden for women. So I'm getting the message of what you're doing is forbidden, you're going to be punished. Now, of course, you don't know about this because it's in your subconscious mind. All you know is that your subconscious is feeling the stress. It's feeling I'm in danger. And so that puts a great deal of stress into your life. You're pushing forward and your subconscious is saying you're not allowed to do this. And that is what then creates the anxiety, the stress, the burnout, which is exactly the pattern that I took, and lots of other women do that as well. Then you've got the other option, and that is the woman who, because of her character being different, in that same situation, she will also get those messages of this underlying, what you're doing is labelled as forbidden when you're going into the energy here. But she will say, okay, then I'm going to take on a more aggressive male energy in order to thrive in this situation. So this is basically the warrior archetype. And all the women who are really at the top of things in politics and business, etc., they will usually be warrior archetypes, and they have taken on a more confrontational, more aggressive energy in order to succeed. And it does work for them, but at the same time, they aren't aligned with who they truly are if they weren't compensating. As similarly, I was not being able to be true to myself because I was also compensating for the fact that my mind believed I was in danger. So those are these two main archetypes of women that are out in the world.
So someone like Jacinda Ardern, then, who's the she's the Prime Minister of New Zealand. She seems to be, she's working in this male world, but she seems to be doing something right now. And just the people that might be listening to this in 3 or 4 years' time, we're right in the middle of this strange lockdown of the planet, which might be one of the best things that can ever happen, unless you're unfortunate enough to succumb to the virus. But she seems to be doing something which is very subtle in this male-dominated world, which is having a great impact. Which sort of archetype might she fit into?
Well, I would say that that's a perfect question, actually, because that leads me on to what we want to become. Uh-huh. The whole point of my work and the book is to enable women to release these archetypes of I have to fit in, and uh-huh. then rediscover what their full power is, with that then being safe subconsciously to do that. And that is the archetype that I'm calling the sorceress. So we have been conditioned for many centuries that we weren't allowed to be in our full power. The witch persecutions, the powerful woman has been persecuted throughout history. It's a well-known phenomenon. And that legacy is still with us. We're suppressing. We aren't allowing ourselves to really, really shine, really be true to ourselves. Often we think we're being empowered, but we're actually running on empty because we don't have a power foundation. And that again leads to this conflict and burnout and being attacked and things that we see in the media. But if you've got that understanding and you get it right, you can bring in this deep understanding that we aren't living in those past times. We can release all of those forbidden labels. We can be aligned with the fact that we are allowed to be ourselves and female and have our true female power flowing in our lives, and that we are not going to be put to death for that now. And so that is the sorceress archetype. And when I see a woman like this, that's exactly the energy that she is beginning to run. So she's not being undermined by the status quo because her power has been activated. And it's a really important distinction, the difference between power that's supported by a power foundation and force, which is far more aggressive, egotistical, and is not supported by a power foundation. So we're all wanting to free ourselves from the need to compensate and to find what our version of the sorceress is, if that makes sense.
Well, it does to me, and I can be open about this. As a sorcerer, And I put a hyphen in, so someone that connects to source, if you know what I mean, and can connect to source.
Yes.
I personally am very comfortable with the concept of a sorceress, and I personally would love to live in a world where it's just sorceresses everywhere. Obviously, a few hundred years ago, then sorcerers were being burned at the stake and what have you. So we've come
so
a long way.
Not so good back then,
no. Yeah, and I also know that that female magic is very powerful. I understand the subtleties between the various magical powers and flavors of alchemy, if you like. Which, well, there's a title for a book, isn't there? So, so I'm comfortable with that. But how can we get the sorceress to come out without ending up being one of the old warrior archetypes? And how can we make the men that might be fearful of the rise of the sorceresses welcome it in?
So the key thing is this pulling back the power. Mm-hmm. So if I quickly explain what that means. When we are reading the energies of the status quo and triggering subconsciously that I'm in danger, we go into what I'm calling subconscious submission, which means we're putting all our attention out on the perceived danger. We are shutting down our power in order to supposedly be safe, just like you see in the animal kingdom when one animal submits to the other in a fight. That's subconsciously what we're doing. And when we're in that state, we have no power, so we have no ability to create change, which is my definition. So it's a downward spiral. We get less and less power, feel less and less safe, and less and less able to make any changes in that situation. Mm-hmm. So if we start to just pretend, act, fake it to be assertive, we still have no power underneath and we're intrinsically very weak. And that's when we mm-hmm. might, you know, lash out. That's when we might feel, you know, extreme anxiety. That is not going to be aligned power at all. But when we do the pulling back of the power, that's bringing the attention from that perceived danger back within yourself, into your mind, your heart, your body. And that enables the subconscious to feel its own power again. It feels safer. And as you're breaking that cycle of spiraling down, what it then does is it relaxes and it begins to, you know, release all those obsolete programs. And it will say, well, actually, I'm perfectly entitled to be here. I'm perfectly entitled to express my opinion. I'm not going to be burnt at the stake. And it kind of brings itself up into its power. So that then creates this feeling of entitlement, feeling of safety, feeling of our right to be somewhere and do something. And in that aligned state, that is when it's safe to then reactivate the parts of ourselves that we were suppressing. I know absolutely when I was in my scientific career, whole aspects of myself were completely suppressed. I didn't even know they existed because mm-hmm. it wasn't acceptable to the status quo. I hadn't done it consciously. My system had read the surroundings that I was in and said, basically, that's forbidden, that's forbidden, that's forbidden. Crush those. You've got to be like this. You're in great danger. But when you pull the power back in, the system say, well, fine, I'm seeing a male default in society. That's the legacy of history that we have inherited. But we can also now bring in female power foundation, female gifts. Just because it's not there at the moment in the status quo doesn't mean that it's forbidden. In fact, when we bring that in, we're going to bring in the balance that we've been lacking for so long. So it's all about having that power foundation, which then makes it safe to be aligned and be yourself. And at that point, who knows what, you know, abilities and gifts and powers will then come into somebody's life. So there are two sides to the coin, and you're absolutely right that when the women shift in this way, men are going to feel the change in energy. They are going to feel threatened, maybe don't know how to react with this. They are going to have to adjust. Now, the operating system isn't helpful for men either. And that, in fact, is the subject of my next book, which is addressing the other side of the coin.
Oh, wonderful.
yes, because it's all about getting this balance, you know, being passionately about empowering women is not about crushing men, absolutely not. It's about getting the balance of aligned power, male and female, in society, in our personal lives, everywhere.
So I'm with that, and we're very fortunate. We live in middle England, and yeah, you had a supportive husband that could see you through this whole transition. If, however, you're in lockdown and you're in a violent relationship, or and if you're in Scandinavia or in New Zealand, then people will get all of this. You know, you're in a very safe environment to be espousing these concepts. But if you're in a lockdown when you've got an abusive partner, and that could be male or female, it goes both ways, or you're in a state where you've got a very dominant male dictator, and I have to say, anyone that's listening to this from the USA right now, then your lovely president is got so many traits of the dictator, which is not very healthy, in my personal opinion. How do we help people in those situations where it's not so easy to be free in this way?
Absolutely. Well, if you are in that kind of situation, the key is going to be working on yourself. So you aren't going to be saying lots of empowering things that are going to antagonize the people that you're with. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. But what you want to be doing is to be pulling back your power on a daily basis, where you want to be getting your subconscious out of that locked fight or flight. And the more you do that, you are training your energy field to hold your power rather than giving it away. So this is a subtle shift. Because we've spent probably our entire lives giving it away, it's very difficult to start pulling it in and holding it. So you're just training yourself to do that. But as you do that, your body will begin to feel safer simply because you are holding your power. And what I've actually found is that when you do that, you begin to give out different subtle messages. So if you are giving out the message that you've got into this subconscious submission, and anybody who is in an abusive relationship will be stuck in that. That keeps that power dynamic of them being submissive, and that can then feed the aggression of the other party. But what I found is that just by changing that power balance within yourself, not saying anything differently, not doing anything differently, but that subtle power dynamic, you can actually gently shift the balance of that relationship, and that actually can change things for the better.
Oh wow, that's amazing. So on your website also, you've got some free resources that will help with that, a couple of meditations, haven't you, for the heart and for compassion. So in even if you don't formally meditate, getting into that meditative state where you give yourself a bit of me time could be a nice way into giving you that objectivity, maybe to start doing something about it.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a lot that you can do, and say simply getting your subconscious out of that locked state of powerlessness, and the tools I've developed can help somebody do precisely that. You are retraining your energy field, retraining your mind. That will release stress and anxiety. It releases limiting beliefs without you having to analyze them, and you will literally you're turning the corner and bringing yourself back up into a more empowered state where it then becomes safe to be yourself more. So it's a gradual process. We're going against a whole lifetime and ancestry of not doing that, but you can train your system to do that, and you will begin to feel different. You will begin to feel get a different response in your relationships. So I've certainly found that when I started to use these techniques, when I discovered them, that people were beginning to respond to me differently, and I thought, wow, this is amazing.
So you've described a couple of scenarios. One where you've been in a unconsciously suppressed environment and you've moved through to sorcery. You understand your archetype, you move through to sorcery. One where you might be in an abusive relationship, either individually or socially, at a societal level. I just wonder whether you've got any resources in your wonderful kit bag that might apply and be able to help all the people on the front line of the NHS at the moment, who are male and female. They really are working, they're tired, they're working insane shifts, and seeing the most gruesome things unfolding in front of their eyes.
Absolutely. So I mean, this is actually what I'm doing. I've been running a free group online where I am enabling people to pull back their power so that they can feel more in control, feel safer, less overwhelmed, you know, more in control. And that is, it just shifts that balance. So in terms of the NHS, what the energy that's running, it's this lack energy, isn't it? It's haven't got the resources, haven't, you know, all of that. So what we can do is we can pull the power in for the individuals, but we can also pull it in for the logistics and, you know, the institution, so that all of that is then supported by this underlying, literally, foundation of, yes, we can do this. And that mental shift it's more than a mental shift. It's bringing that power dynamic in their favor rather than allowing it to, you know, be the power being draining away from it, which is what it's doing at the moment. Every single headline is draining the power away. And so what we need to do is to reverse that, compensate for that, counteract it, pull the power in and hold that with intention, so that all of those pieces can sort of slot together like a jigsaw. So the actual people in the front line can use the resources to pull their own power in and feel more in control, more supported, and us on the outside can do that as a group, because obviously the group consciousness is actually very powerful energy, and we can use our intention to compensate for the negative messages that are out there.
And we do that, I guess, by the clap at 8 p.m. every Thursday in a way, don't we?
That, yeah, absolutely. But there are more effective things that you can do.
Cool, I understand that. It's not a token gesture like go to church on Sunday and then everything else.
No, you're absolutely right, yeah.
So, and I hope you don't mind me talking about this, but I know it's an important part of your journey, but you also had this event in your life where you lost your daughter at such a young age, and you must have, to be able to come back from that must have been, oof, I can't imagine.
It's the worst thing that can happen. She was 7 years old, mm-hmm. and she died in her sleep. I didn't know that anything was wrong. I went to get her up for school in the morning and she was cold. And this was 5.5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is the worst thing ever. And I can, what should I say? Positive things have come from it. If I hadn't been in such a terrible place after I lost her, I wouldn't have been able to develop a lot of the tools I'm using and sharing now. Because it was when I was in that place, you know, people were saying things like, oh, you know, take it a day at a time. And I was thinking, what are you talking about? I have to say, breathe and take the next breath and the next breath. It was literally breath by breath some of those days. And all the tools that I had up to that point weren't even touching it. They weren't coming near to pulling me out of that pit of trauma and loss. And it was that time when I realized I had to go even deeper. And I began to develop this understanding of the power, you know, the power dynamic that goes on very, very deeply within our beings.
And do you think that she's been working through you? Because it strikes me that she was a natural sorceress. She was born as a sorceress.
Well, I used to think of her as a fairy princess. That was the energy that she had. She was different. She would light up the room. She had unconditional love, and I mean completely unconditional. She was an astonishing energy, completely pure in her female power. Quite amazing. And she didn't have any of the, you know, the stress and the anxiety and the shyness that I have. And she always said that she wanted to work with me, and that we would do, you know, healing and things together. And this concept of the alchemy of the, you know, the worst, the darkest experiences in our lives, and instead of just saying, oh, I'm just going to survive that, it's no, if I've gone through this, then I need to be able to transform it into something amazing. Surviving isn't enough, even thriving isn't enough. I want a complete turnaround, and that's this energy of the alchemy. I did it the first time with my illness, my chronic fatigue. I thought that was the biggest challenge I would have in my life. It so wasn't. It was losing my daughter. But that process of, you know, something that is so dark, but then managing to find, well, not find, to really transform it into something amazing that I'm now offering to the world to help so many women. It's really that finding of our unique power that has been stifled and crushed and suppressed in various ways, and making that, not saying, oh, I'm an empowered 21st century woman and just doing stuff. That isn't going to give us the deep foundation of safety that we need to make it, you know, true and pure and aligned with who we genuinely are. And I think this is probably Rebecca's gift. I certainly feel that she's come through the book very, very much. This idea of the fairy tale, the idea of finding the magic within and being sort of free to be ourselves in exactly who we are, not having to change who we are, not having to fit into some box or, you know, align with a particular default in wherever we're working, but to just be safe to be ourselves and allow that to absolutely blossom. That is so much her energy.
So is Grace in the book an aspect of Rebecca?
In a way, I think Grace is more an aspect of me than Rebecca. Yeah, yeah. Because Rebecca would never have been following the rules in the first place. I don't think she noticed. Uh-huh. I don't think she noticed the rules. She was just herself. She was just herself, aligned, full of joy, full of love, and very different to me, very different to the women who are sort of struggling or crushed or not being free to be themselves. It's that freedom. It's that freedom to be yourself, to find the magic. That's really what has come from her, and she's certainly overlighting the whole book.
Wow. So are you, obviously we're in strange days at the moment, are you optimistic about the future? Do you see a future where sorcerers and sorceresses equally walk this earth and rule this earth and drive this earth, not ruling in the old way, but you know, directing and curating and being the guardians of this planet?
I do, actually. Yes, I see it. Obviously there is a great deal of challenge, there's loss, all of that stuff, not negating that we are dealing with that. But what's happening on another level is really profound, and it's a real phoenix process in my mind. So all these legacy energies of the past, disempowered past, which are definitely affecting women and other groups in society, and we struggle against them, even though we have the official rights, that legacy is still dragging us back. And I spent years, you know, working out how to free ourselves from those deep energies. And what's happening now, though, is that because of this major reset, those energies are inevitably falling away. They're weakening, they're just dissipating. And so it really gives us an opportunity and, an opportunity to really create something new. You can almost feel those energies resetting. So it's like, goodness, if all that stuff that has been dragging us back is inevitably letting go because of this reboot that the planet's going through, now is our opportunity to really step forward and say, with all that falling away, I can now really grasp who I am. I can really create the Power Foundation, find that freedom, allow my powers to come in, because we are going to have to create a new world now. That things are never going to be the same, because it's shaken the foundations of everything that we have ever known. Everyone who's alive now, really, everything has been shaken. And that challenging, yes, but huge opportunity. And it's not just a, well, we can get to the other side of this. It's the alchemist all over again. It's not, we need to survive this. It's, right, this is happening and it's huge. How can we use this as an opportunity to really create something amazing out the other side?
So how can an awakening or awakened sorceress help the male side of society who might be either scared or lost or just clueless on how to affect this transition, when obviously we know that that male energy, whether it's evoked through a female or a man, has given us this world where we can have these calls over Zoom, and it's given us
yeah.
your previous life, you know, that it's given us an amazing understanding of the material world and all the material sciences that are given at sciences. So how can the awakened sorceress help somebody who's a bit entrenched in that world?
Well, obviously an individual has to be open to change. If somebody is very stuck, you can't really do much about that. But if somebody is wanting to embrace a new concept in this way, the challenge that men have, it's back to the historical legacy. Even if they are consciously on a positive, empowered page and embracing the fact that we now have equal opportunities, etc., in the subconscious legacy, men were conditioned to measure their value by certain factors, and that was often how much they were, you know, dominating the women in their life, or how much they were at a certain element of status relative to another man. It's very, very much measuring it relative to other people, especially in that patriarchal pattern. So it's the understanding that world is no longer appropriate, but your value as a man is your own gifts, your own empowered leadership. It's what you are bringing to the world. You're intrinsically who you are as a person, not measuring yourself against that old benchmark. That is the main shift, which I believe will really help man who wants to step into his version of aligned energy.
Wow. And is this something you're going to explore in the next book?
This is in the next book, yes.
Well, it sounds like we've already got a future date for you to come back on the podcast then. When are you planning for the book? And when are you planning for the next book to be out?
Well, it's still in the planning stage. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to see how quickly it comes into a three-dimensional reality. The first book, it was a journey of 25 years, but 6 months to write it from first word to published, because it was just there as soon as I started. So I don't know.
Oh, well, welcome to my world of temporal alchemy. I'll give you access to some resources that will help you bend and shape time, so it'll happen sooner rather than
later. Sounds good to me.
So where can people find out about you? So you've got the book, you've got these workshops you're doing, the online stuff, and also some free gifts as well. Where's the best place for people to find you?
The best place would be my website, which is feminineconfidence.com.
And can we just finish the podcast with another sample from Grace's journey in the book? And this is where Grace gets to know her beast. And I guess when we know our beast and we start to recognize the beast, then we can start to come to terms with it all.
More than that, it's taming the beast, because it's the recognition that the beast has been undermining us, because it had all this power from the past. But we can take its power away, shrink it down to size, so that it no longer affects us. And that is what Grace is doing, and that is what we are all doing in order to then feel safe to really be in our true power.
And as you say, that's then the preemptive step, or the prequel then to really knowing your sorceress, or finding your sorceress.
That's right.
Well, it's been a real joy and a pleasure to chat to you. And we'll see you again on The Zone Show when the next book is out, which I hope is sooner rather than later.
I hope so too. Thank you.
So let's hear a bit more of Grace's story.
Chapter 11. Key 1. Awareness. Grace rummaged in her bag, and right at the bottom, her fingers closed around the old spell book her grandmother had passed down to her. As she opened it, the ancient pages began to crackle with power. She knew what to do. She knew how to use this power. It was within her. It was part of her. How could she have forgotten? Grace screwed up the ridiculous rules and cast them aside, pulled off her corset, and steadied herself. The game had changed. Grace, the sorceress, was back.